You're listening to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Today we talk about a tough subject, but one that needs our attention and discussion. The number one cause of death for American teenagers is accidents, but number two isn't drug overdoses or violent crime, it's suicide. Today we talk about the statistics and some of the factors that lead to teen suicide, and joining us as always is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here with you, Brandon.
As we typically do, we'll, to put it in your language, paint the picture. That is, give people an impression of what we mean when we talk about teen suicide. What are some of the contours of this issue?
Alarmingly, rates are increasing. We saw a 70% increase one decade to the next. Among African-American teenagers, we saw a 77% increase, but their rate is not nearly as high. Males are four times more likely to commit suicide, but females are more likely to attempt suicide.
Hmm.
Guns are used in half of the suicides annually. And when we look at the whole gestalt, about one in five, 20% of teens consider suicide annually. 8% or 1 million attempted suicide, and from this group, 300,000 required medical attention for their attempt. And the number that's most alarming is 1,700 teens die annually by suicide. And as I've said, this number is growing.
When we talk about suicide being the number two cause of death for American teenagers, one thing that makes me wonder is what causes that concentration? Why has it moved up the ladder so much? Another way to think about it would be, why are the teenage years seeing this kind of concentration of suicides?
Oh, well, that's a great question. And it's not one thing, it's a constellation of things. But let's just think about the baseline. Remember back to being a teenager? These are really unsettling times. Even normal development is a challenge during the teenage years. But now we have a lot of external factors that are making that time of your life even more challenging. And we'll talk about those in a minute. Also want to talk, we know a lot from brain science, that teenagers' brains aren't fully developed. I think parents have always suspected this, but now we really know from studies of the brain that teens are more prone to risky behavior, impulsive behavior. They have poor judgment. That part of the brain that deals with judgment is not fully developed until much later in your 20s. So we have this mix based on normal physiology, and then we look at all the stressors, just being a teenager, and then the things that are external. Family stressors, changes in friendships. Teenagers are by nature very social, school problems, and other losses. You put all this together, Brandon, and it can be a really lethal mix. So we have personal, psychological, physiological, and societal problems that are all contributing to this uptick in the amount of teenage suicide.
I want to delve a little more then into the medical side, the physiological and psychological. There are some more specific factors that have also been linked to suicide.
Yes, suicide most commonly is linked to serious mental health problems. We're talking here generally about depression, but bipolar disorder is another contributor. And then we also see substance abuse disorders, which are growing in prevalence, and they're major contributors. And then what we see is the combination of the two, mental health problems with substance abuse problems. So if we look at some of the numbers, more than 90% of the people who die by suicide have depression, a substance abuse disorder, or both. So let's look at adolescents again. 1 million adolescents have a substance abuse disorder. Usually, mental health and substance abuse disorders are seen with external stressors. Again, it's that mix. So perhaps the teenager had disciplinary problems at school with parents or others, an interpersonal loss, breakup with a significant other, family violence, and family violence is a major societal problem. Sexual orientation confusion is being recognized more and more as contributing to this stressors that mixed with mental health disorders and substance abuse can be lethal. And we're beginning to get a full appreciation of the impact of what we call ACEs, adverse childhood experiences. Hmm. And the prevalence of ACEs and the lifelong deleterious effect they have on your health.
Some of the research has indicated that normal behavior for teenagers includes the elements of behavior for teens that are at risk for suicide. So if I'm a parent, if I'm an authority figure, a school administrator, how can I differentiate between normal teenage behavior and something that throws up a red flag?
That's a great question, because as parents, you know, we want to protect our children. We want to love our children. And what's normal? What's not normal? When should I be alarmed? When should I not be alarmed? And it's during this time when teenagers don't want their parents hovering over them.
Right. We're starting to build those boundaries of privacy around ourselves in the teenage years.
Right. It's a tough time in growth and development. But I think there's three things that parents and those that care for teenagers need to be aware of, is to know the risk factors. We'll talk about those in just a moment. Look for stressful, precipitating life events. We'll talk about those. And then look for changes. Changes is probably the most important thing. So let's talk first about risk factors. We've already talked about depression. Family history of suicide is a strong predictor. Exposure to violence, as we've already said. Does your teen start acting differently, more impulsive than you would expect, aggressive, disruptive behavior? Has your teen been subject to bullying, any acute loss or rejection? Again, remember how important the relationships are that teenagers have with significant others. Feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, look for those comments. Now, risk factors vary. The one thing is there is a little bit extra burden for African-American teens. Again, their rate of suicide is lower. But in the African-American community, there's even more stigma about mental health than there is in the other communities. And there's an issue in our country about access to mental health services. We have a dearth of providers, but African-Americans, in addition to this dearth of providers, seek out care at a lower rate.
And you said, too, this is a group that has seen a pretty significant rise in the last decade or so in suicide.
That is correct. Yeah. The rate is increasing, although the rate is still lower. Then the other thing is look for those stressful, what I would call precipitating life events, an unwanted pregnancy, a breakup, which we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Breakups are a big deal. Bullying. Running away is a very big red flag. Be concerned about that. And then when we look at homeless youth, they are more prone to suicide. So teens thinking about suicide may or may not make overt statements. If statements are made, stop, explore that, ask about that. That needs to be examined.
As we customarily do, too, after we've delivered sort of the hard news, we like to talk about what can be done about it, what are some of the bright spots or reasons for some kind of optimism. So what can be done about this issue of teen suicide?
Great question. So this is two sides of a coin. We do have some challenges. We have, as I've said, a dearth of mental health providers, and we also have persistent stigma about seeking treatment for mental health. But despite these two challenges, which must be addressed, there are effective techniques for prevention, intervention, and treatment of suicide. We know from research that primary care providers can be very effective on the front line of preventing teen suicide. So they're essential for identifying and managing adolescent depression. And the American Academy of Pediatrics has released clinical practice guidelines to assist primary care providers, not just specialists, in screening, the assessment of based on screening results, and treatment and management of mental health disorders and other things that may contribute to suicide. So we have some tools in our toolkit for addressing the problem. It's a deep problem. It won't go away quickly, but it's a problem that I think we can all come together on and try to make a change in the uptick of the number of suicides among teenagers.
Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. We've been listening to Health Connections. Dr. Myers, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.